The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
We're in the midst of the third parak in the Shara Bitochin and the Chodesh Halavovos and the Hakdomas, the five Hakdomas to Bitochin that he gives. But again, the Hakdomas, he says in the introduction to the Hakdomas, Acha Hakdomas, Asher Beiruron Vamitoson Yishlam Leodom Habitochon Beidekim. With their clarity and the recognition of their truth will be completed. A person will reach complete Bitochon in Hashem. So here's another one, another Hakdoma, the fourth Hakdoma, that will, through the clarity of this Hakdoma, will allow a person to reach true bitochen in Hashem. Hakdom revius shetihye hashgochosoy chazoko vihishtadlusoy gedoylo vekayim mashechivu boy haboyrei meavodosoy. That his supervision, his concern, his care should be strong, and his efforts should be great to fulfill that which the Creator has obligated him in his service. To a person to fulfill his obligations to Hashem. V'lasos mitzvosov, and to perform his mitzvos. Ulizoyer me'asher hizhiru mimenu, and to be careful from that which Hashem has commanded to guard oneself against. Kifi ma shehu mevakesh, according to that which he wants. Sheyia habeirei mas kimloi, a person has to dedicate himself to the observance of the mitzvahs, the caring, the staying away from doing wrong, according to the extent of what he expects Hashem to do to him. In other words, I'm trusting Hashem. I want him to, I want him to do for me. I have... kifi, according to that extent, I want him to do a lot for me. I'm not satisfied with just a little bit of help. I don't want him just to be yotze, with a little bit sprinkling of blessing. I want heavy stuff. So to the degree that I want that from him, that I'm trusting him for, it's to that degree that I should serve him. I should do what he wants. In other words, and he even explains, he says, as it says in Pirkei Avos, asei retzoinoi kirtzoinecho, do, perform his will as if it was yours. Do it, what he wants from you, so well, so committedly, so dedicatedly, as if this is what you want yourself, as if it was your own personal will. Kedei sheyase retzoincho kirtzoinoi, so that he should do your will as if it was his. It's reciprocal. Do his will as if it was your personal desire, so that he should do your will as if it was his personal desire. And then, of course, it says in the reverse, batel retzoinchu mebnei retzoinoi, negate your will in favor of his will, k'dei shivatel retzoin acher mebnei retzoinecho, so he should negate others' evil will or intention against you, which is against the will that you have. Now here, I think, is something very interesting. He's telling us that the Hakdoma, this concept, will assure our bitochon in Hashem. One of the things that assures true bitochon in Hashem is this sense that I am doing His will to the fullest extent that I want Him to do my will. Now, I want to ask you a question. First of all, does this mean that a person who's not doing Hashem's will, his bitochon is not going to help? That's not what this says. Some people want to interpret it this way, but I don't think that's what this is. This says, the Hakdoma was, that this is one of the five things that if you clearly understand this, you will have real bitochon in Hashem. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to understand that I should do His will in order for Him to do my will. So it's the understanding that brings bitochon. It's not that this doing his will entitle you to get what you want. This is the understanding that's going to bring bitochon. It seems that in order to have bitochon in Hashem, one of the things that a person has to do to feel that sense is, hey, you know something? If I'm doing his will as if it were mine, then he's going to do my will as if it is his. It's like a tool to be able to feel the bitochon rather than the entitlement that you need. Otherwise, if you have bitochon, but you're not a good person, you're not doing the mitzvahs, you're not going to get what you want anyway. It doesn't say that any place. It just seems to be that this is a tool. In other words, a psychological tool to be able to trust Hashem is saying, listen, I'm doing his mitzvahs as if they were mine. I do it as if it was my personal desire. And therefore, that helps me to expect from him that he's going to respond to my bitochon. So it seems it's just a tool to achieve this bitochon. But there's something else that's very interesting over here too. Asei Ratzon Kirtzonech, I would have said that that's the highest level. Do his will as if it was yours. In other words, if Hashem tells me to do a mitzvah, it becomes, this is my thing. I'm doing it as if it was, I wake up in the morning and I want to daven. This is my thing. I want to do it for myself. Do his will as if it's yours. It seems to me that the flip side is undermining it. Hey, you know why you should do that? So he'll do your will as if it was his. Then how am I doing my will as if it's, how am I doing his will as if it's mine? That's not the purest form of doing his will. I'm doing his will as if it's mine that he should do for me. So I'm not doing it for him. I'm not doing it because I want to do his will. I'm doing it because I want something in return. So where's this purity? If the reason is that he should do your will as if it was his. So to this, I think that we have to say something that's really very simple, but I think it has far-reaching effects. And that is, you know what Hashem's will really is? Hashem's ultimate will is to do our will as if it was his. What did he create this world for? He needs me to do his will as if it's mine? Doesn't need anything from me. Doesn't need anything from anybody. He created the world so that he should be able to give us benefit and pleasure and chesed. So if we do his will as if it's ours, and we therefore deserve that he should do our will with the ultimate commitment and passion and totalness as if it was his, then we've helped him to fulfill his purpose of creation. That's probably what enhances my feeling of bitoch. In other words, look, I'm doing your will. And I'm doing your will because I want you to give me something. And that really is what you want. In other words, doing Hashem's will as if it was mine, in order that he should do my will as if it's his, is really saying to him, I'm helping you fulfill the purpose of creation. Because your creation is predicated on two things. I want to do chesed, but I want it to be legitimate. It has to be din. It has to be din, and it has to be rachamim. It has to be din and chesed. So chesed is, I want to do good for you. But din says, you got to deserve it. If you didn't earn it, it's a lie if I do good for you. You know, chlal, we know, if you ever get an award for something that you don't deserve, it's embarrassing. You know, you get up there at this big dinner, and they give you this big award, and you did this wonderful thing, and you know it was really your friend that did it, not you. You can't feel like a mensch, you know. It's a bizoyen. I didn't do anything. What do you want from me? It's not. So, but if we earn it, and how do I earn it? If I do ritzoyne kirtzoynecho, then I'm going to earn that he should do my will as if it's his, and that's the ultimate. That's what he really wants. Ultimately, what he wants to do is to give me all the pleasure and fulfill all my desires and give me everything that I want as if it was his will. So in reality, this is an amazing formula for feeling trust in Hashem, because if I do the mitzvahs and I do his will, and I'm saying, you know, I'm doing his will, that he should do my will because I want something from him. And that is exactly what he wants. And he's going to respond. So the doing his will with the intent that he should do my will is really what he wants to do. And I'm now having trust in bringing about a situation of putting Hashem in the situation where he really wants to do what I want to do. So it's a trick. It's really a trick. So I'm starting to feel that's a little bit, I see it's a little bit abstract. I'm not sure I'm getting it across well. But it's, We can't see the rest of the audience out there, just the ones that are sitting here. But it's almost like this is the way to convince myself to have real bitochen. Because you know why I can rely on this? Because if I'm doing his will as if it's mine, and I'm doing it for him to do my will as if it's his, and he wants to respond like that, and he's going to respond like that, that helps me to rely on him. Because I've created the schus for him to do it. And that's another way of getting. Sometimes I have bitochen without a schus. I just trust him even though if I don't deserve it. But if I deserve it, it enhances my trust. Not that I couldn't trust without it and I couldn't get what I... A person, we'll see in a moment, we'll discuss a little further. But Pashtus is, it's a chazal. Chazal say, the Pasuk says, Rabbi machoivim l'rosha, v'abateach v'ashem chesed yisovevenu. Great are the pains of a wicked person, but one who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by chesed. And Chazal say, based on that posik, it's a medrash, afilu rosho ubeitech b'Hashem, chesed yisovevenu. Even a wicked person, even a rosho, if he trusts Hashem, he'll be surrounded with chesed. So we see clearly that you don't have to be a tzaddik to have bitochen and to have the bitochen work. But what he seems to be saying over here is that if you'll be that tzaddik, you'll find it easier to have bitochen, because now one of the things that's working for your bitochen is saying, I'm doing this for him, so he should do it for me. And that's going to be, it's going to allow him, it's going to be more incentive for him to do for me, and therefore I'm going to get what I want to get. So it's like a means, it's like a tachbula to achieve what I want to achieve. Let's continue what he says here. Avol mi sheyivtach al habirei v'hu mamre oisei. Now he says something else. What about a person who is putting trust in Hashem and he's rebelling against him? He's mamish rebelling against Hashem. Kamo hu socho v'kama daito chalusho v'hakorosoi. Yeah. He says, a person who is trusting Hashem and who's rebelling Hashem, he's so stupid, he's so foolish, he's so weak of mind. Ki hu roye. Why? This is so illogical for a person to say, I'm putting my trust in Hashem and I'm going to rebel against him. I'm going to not just, and by the way, Mamre, it seems, doesn't mean he's just not doing the mitzvahs. He's conducting a battle against him. He's, you know, he's rebellious, not just lazy. No. He says, why is this so foolish? Because it says like this. Ki hu roye. Let's say a person appoints someone to take care of a certain issue, and he commands him to take care of something from something that I need, or warns him against something, and he doesn't listen. I appoint someone to do something, to take care of something for me, and he doesn't listen. Okay. Excuse me. One second. Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused for a moment. And the word gets back. In other words, he didn't listen to what I told him. And word gets back to me that he violated my directives. Okay. Ki yiyah hasiba chazok limona mimeno heosos mashabotoch bolofbo. Am I going to do for you now what you're trusting me to do? You're trusting me to do something for you. I asked you to do something for me. You didn't do it. And now it gets back to me that you didn't do it. He says, should I now respond to you to give you that which you trusted? You trusted me. I asked you, please. Okay, you're trusting me, fine. I asked you to do something for me. You refuse to do it. I find out you refuse to do it. Am I going to now respond to your trust? In other words, it's a type of situation that it doesn't make any sense. Kol shekein, he says, Misha over al chukei or the kimu mitzvoisev, a person who violates the directives of Hashem. Hashayir v'heir alim, Hashem testified and he said, we have to do this. Shetir tocheles abotei cholov nichzovo. Certainly that the guy who's trusting him should be disappointed. Kishi amrei, when he rebels against him. Because you're asking Hashem. Hashem asks you to do something. You're trusting him. He asks you to do something. You don't do it. So he should respond to you. Why should he respond to you? I asked you to do something. You refuse to do it. But you want me to do what you're counting on me to do? And I think the Pshat is, he says, he isn't worthy of being called Beiteach Belikim. So I think he's saying like this. It's not the Pshat that the bitochin of such a person who rebels against Hashem is not going to entitle him to get anything. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that such a person doesn't really have bitochin. You're not about bitochin. Are you serious? Tell me. Tell me again. You are going to tell me the following thing. I implicitly trust in Hashem, and I blatantly in his face go against everything he tells me to do, and I'm sure that he's going to do it for me. Now, you know something? He might, if you really trusted him. Because afilo rosho v'teach v'ashem chesed sovevenu. Now, I don't know, rosho doesn't mean mamre. A rosho may not be a mamre. Mamre is a rebellious person. A rosho may just be a person who doesn't do anything. So I don't know for sure. But I could hear even by a mamre what the pshat is over here. Maybe Hashem would do it for him. But who are you fooling? You don't really have bitochen. Just like if a person has another eitzah, we said, we learned, I really have someplace else to go, but I'm going to trust him. It's not real trust, because I have another eitzah. I'm not. Trust is, I have no place to go. I have no one else to turn to. I'm trusting you. So he says something else. If you spit in his face, you can't trust him. Because it doesn't make any sense, logically. Who is going to represent himself and say, I trust the one to deliver to me on everything I want, the one to whom I refused rebelliously to do what he asked of me? Simple, in simple human terms, if I ask you to do something, and you're trusting me to do something for you, and I ask you to do something for me, and you don't do it, not only may I not want to do it for you, but you don't believe I'm going to do it for you. You come home and you say, hey, he asked me to do something, I refuse, and yet I'm trusting him, or am I crazy? He's not going to do it. So what he's saying is that the person who is Mamre HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can't come to real bitochen. And that's what he says. He says clearly, V'lo yiroi lihi korei b'shem b'teach b'lekim. That's not a Baal bitochen. A Baal bitochen is not one who spits in Hashem's face, not because you can't, the bitochen shouldn't entitle you even if you spit in his face. But you can't have bitochen if you spit in his face. Because you can't believe that he's going to do what you want if he asked you to do certain things and you rebel against him. That's what he seems to be saying. And then he brings a few psukim. Okay, fine. So basically, I think this is a very important idea because it's important for many reasons. And let me try to explain. Let's go back. The Vilna Goin brings from the Medrash that we quoted, Rabbi Machoiv from the Rosh, the Posek, Batech Hashem Chesed Sovevenu, even a Rosh who trusts Hashem will be surrounded by Chesed. Even a Rosh can have Bitochen in Hashem, and Hashem will respond to that Bitochen and not disappoint that Baal Bitochen. That's what the Goin says. Some want to say that the Chavis Halavovas disagrees with that, from this Chavis Halavovas. I don't believe that that's true because the first piece he clearly is talking just about the ability to say, I'm trusting Hashem because I'm trusting him that I'm doing his will and therefore he's going to do me. Doing his will that he should do my will is a psychological mechanism to increase trust. And even over here, when it's rebelliousness, which could be much worse, maybe there's such an idea, but even here it sounds like because a person who is rebellious against Hashem will have trouble really trusting him. Not that the trust wouldn't help, but how can you trust him? You, in your own mind, can't really trust that he's going to do for you when you so blatantly rebelled against him. And that's what he seems to say, that he can't be called a Shem Boteach Hashem. It's not real Bitochem Hashem. Fine. What's this so important for? Well, first of all, one of the problems that we have with bitochen, the Ramban says this, others say this, that every mamin, every boteach is a mamin, that's for sure. If you have bitochen, you have to have emunah, because if you don't believe in Hashem and in his kindness, his chesed, his involvement, his powers and everything, you can't trust him. But not everyone who believes in Hashem and all of his powers is a baal bitochen, Shema Gorem Achet, because maybe Chet, maybe Chet caused that he won't get what he wants. So in other words, I believe in Hashem, but I'm not sure he's going to give me what I want because maybe I don't deserve it. That's a possibility. Now, that is a possibility. However, it's possible for a person to rise above that and trust Hashem anyway. Because even a Rosh who trusts Hashem will be able to... Trust in Hashem works for anyone, even though I'm not deserving. The only thing is that it's harder. Because if I'm deserving, so of course I trust, there's no problem. But if I'm not deserving, I'm afraid, hey, maybe I sinned, maybe I don't deserve it. So logically, I can't assume he's going to give it to me because maybe I don't deserve it. But emotionally, I could say, oh, I'm counting on him. He's not going to let me down. I just know it. I just feel it. I just, he knows how much it means to me, and he knows how much I care, and he's so kind, and he created the whole world just to do chesed. I just don't believe. I'm sure. And that feeling works even for a Rosha, and I dare say it might even work for one who is rebellious against Hashem, except for the fact that a one who is rebellious against Hashem couldn't really have that feeling, because knowing that I'm not doing what he wants and I'm expecting him to do what I want, that doesn't allow me really to trust that he's able to do it. That's one thing. Then I just want to say one more thing, which I think is also very relevant. We'll move on to the next Hakdoma. And that is, I find this to be a very powerful tool in Kiruv. I find that, and I found in experience over years, that there are tons of people out there who are not religious, and they may not yet be ready to get religious. However, when they hear that you don't have to be religious to have bitochen in Hashem and for Hashem to respond, that I like. That I like. It's like, you know, a free pass. You know, don't got to be religious, but just have bitochen, and everything is going to be all right. And there are people that have risen to this occasion. I know I may have told this story once before, but I know there was once when I introduced this type of a lecture about bitochen to one of these Arachim seminars that we were doing in California. So there was a young man who was very taken by this. I don't know if he became a Baal Teshuva, but he was very taken by this whole bitochen. And when I came back for a follow-up session a few months later, he accosted me with this story. He said, I got to tell you, I came home from the seminar, and I was all excited about this bitochen and prayer and Hashem's involvement and Hashkocha Protis, all the terms that he learned, whatever, Hebrew, English, I'm not sure how he learned them. And he says, my mother is a single parent, and she had to marry off my sister that week. The way I came home Sunday night, the wedding was Thursday night, and she needed $15,000 for the wedding. She didn't have any clue how she's going to get it. And I told her, don't worry, have bitochen. I, you know, gave her this whole speech. Bitochen, trust Hashem. If you put trust Hashem to the degree that you trust him, he's going to help you. You don't have to worry and this and that. I tried to, you know, strengthen her. He says, that day, she had a business, she sold costume jewelry. And that day, a woman who had purchased a necklace from her a while back had returned it 5 or 6 times because the clasp kept breaking each time. And she returned it that she should have it fixed. She would give it to be fixed and it would break again. This woman was irate. She came back, she says, it broke again. I want my $25 back. You know, she was selling costume jewelry. And here's your necklace, and don't bother me. Don't get it fixed anymore. I'm not interested. I can't deal with this anymore. Huh? So she took it back, and she refunded the money. But she was very curious as to why this should keep on happening every time it was fixed. So she brings it to her jeweler. And her jeweler, you know, starts to look at it. And he says, I'll give you $15,000 for this necklace. It wasn't costume jewelry. So this guy says to me, he says, I told my mother that day, bitochen, you have to trust Hashem. A little bit, I don't know, she bought it, I guess she must have bought a little bit, you know. And he says, that's why it happened? And had she not known about it, it wouldn't have happened? And this episode, like, changed their lives. So, this woman wasn't a religious woman, but you don't have to be religious to have Hashem... not disappoint your trust. So in the world of Kiruv, this is a very powerful thing because it's not putting so much pressure on people, you know. However, it's not so simple. In fact, a young lady once, after such a lecture, once asked me, do you mean I don't have to be religious? I just have bitochen in Hashem and it's going to work? So I told her, she's putting me in a compromising position. I either have to tell her she doesn't have to be religious or I have to lie to her. You know, truth is, yeah, it'll work even if you're not religious. However, first of all, if you are religious, it's much easier. You'll have real bitochen. It'll be deeper bitochen, as we learned over here too. The person who's doing Hashem's will, in order that Hashem, as if it was His will, so Hashem should do my will as if it was His will. His will, my will, as if it's His will. Such a person now has real bitochen because I have reason to believe that He's going to do it. It enhances my feelings of bitochen. So first of all, if you're not religious, it's very hard to have bitochen. But then between you and me, I don't know if I said this to her, if you'll spend a couple of days or weeks or months in the world of bitochen, it's almost impossible not to become religious. Because when you'll put your trust in Hashem and He'll respond, and then sometimes if He doesn't respond, you'll realize, hey, I wasn't really trusting Him, I was playing games. But when I really trust Him, He does respond. That guy can't stay irreligious for too much longer. Because that direct connection, that direct hashpah. Now, I know some people get a little unnerved at this conversation because they think, oh, come on, don't take it so seriously. This, we've seen people, that. I don't know. I think that, I want to tell you a story. A story about bitochen, and maybe it underscores this emotion as well. It was a situation where I received a call from friends of mine in the yeshiva in Los Angeles that there was some money that was supposed to come in, a lot of money, $100,000, and it hadn't come yet. I had, whatever it is, made the arrangements for them, and they, what are we going to do? It didn't come yet. It was a Shana Rabbah, I remember. We're going to have to close down if it doesn't come. It's like, we can't go on like this. What's going to be? I don't know. All I know is, I just had learned the Gemara the night before, if you have bitochen, don't worry about anything. Even though the Mishnah says you can't be mispal hatzoek l'shov or reizu tfilashov, if you pray for something that happened, it's considered a false tefillah, because if it happened, it happened. But Hillel, the Gemara in Daf Samach and Brocha says, Ton Rabon, Maisa b'Hillel Azokin, Hillel walked into a city, he heard a cold svocha, he heard fire engines roaring, and he says, he didn't say it shouldn't be my house, he says, Botuach ani shein zeh b'tech beisi, I'm sure I have bitochen, it's not in my house. And the Gemara justifies that and brings a posuk, Mishmor lo yiro, nochaliwa batuach b'Hashem. You don't have to be afraid of any bad tidings, any bad news, if you trust Hashem. So Hillel, even though he may not have been allowed to pray, it shouldn't be my house, because it was, but if he had bitochen, he doesn't have to worry. Bitochen is a koyach. Doesn't matter what you hear, it doesn't matter what anyone says. So I told him, I says, you got to have bitochen, Hashem will help, the yeshiva will get its money. Fine. 15 minutes later, I get a call from a friend of mine. This is all Erev Yontif, close to about 6 o'clock over here. It was 3 hours later over there. Get a call. His father was diagnosed with a tumor at the base of the brain, and they gave him 6 weeks to 3 months in their inimitable way. He was very distraught. Didn't know what he's going to do. His father was 72 years old, So I didn't know what to tell him. It was a terrible thing. But I said, I just learned that Gemara. If you have bitochen, you don't have to worry about shmoro. Mishmoro lo yiro. Don't be afraid. Have bitochen. Strengthen your bitochen to the extent, to the degree that you're going to have bitochen. It's to that degree that everything changes. You don't have to worry about anything. So, okay, fine. Then I had to call up his father. He's a friend of mine, and he was very distraught. He was crying on the phone. And I told him, I says, you have to have bitochen. Bitochen, the Gemara says, bitochen, to the degree that you have bitochen, you'll change everything. So he asked me a good kasha. He says, people die. How could you say such a thing? Everybody dies, eventually.
like, what are you talking about? How can you say you have bitochen you? So I told him, I said, I don't know the answer to that question. But I know the Gemara says to the degree that you have bitochen, don't have to worry. Because it was Yontif by me already. It was almost Yontif. So after Yontif, I get a call. I find out what happened. My friend, who was so distraught about his father's diagnosis, calls up the head of the yeshiva there he was involved with. He says he's going into a different bank. He didn't want his father to know that he's giving this money in his honor. He's going to a bank. He's going to borrow $100,000, and he's going to make a donation to the yeshiva. His father should have a refuah shleima. Okay, one problem, Aleidik taken care of. 15 minutes later, they get a call from the doctor's office. There was no tumor. We reevaluated. We had a conference. We did, no tumor, no nothing. This is something he had from birth, and the man lived another 14 years after that. So, and by the way, he was so overjoyed, and he didn't know what his son had done. He donated another $5,000 besides that. But so it's like the concept of this bitochen. It's so powerful that there's nothing to be afraid of. If you're not afraid, Hashem helps. Miracles happen. Things that are just like beyond belief. But he asked a good kasha, this man. He says, people die. How could you say that if you have bitochen? I didn't know the answer to that. A few weeks later, also with a very interesting story, but I'm not going to take your time now, I discovered the Pirush of the Vilna Goyen on Brochus, on this Gemara. And I quickly looked at it. I said, he asked the question. He says, people die. How could you say such a thing? And he says, everything depends on the level of bitochen. And I, tzadikim suffer. He doesn't say people, I said, tzadikim suffer. He says, it depends on the level of bitochen. So I imagine what it means is like this. There are times there are tzadikim that want to go with din. They don't want a special chesed. They don't mind taking it. Okay, fine. But if a person chooses to focus his bitochen in Hashem, if that's his choice, if that's his religious choice, if that's what he feels, this is the path I want to go, Hashem will certainly help him. I guess that's only for premature death. It's not, you can't live forever. That I haven't heard anyone who figured that one out yet. But the concept of the power of bitochen to influence everything in our lives, that's something that's real. Okay, let's see if we can do the fifth hakdama here. V'hakdama chamishis. This is I think another basic hashkofa that we have to have. Akdoma chamishis, she is bayer etzloi, that he has to have clear by himself in his thinking. Ki ashlomas hadvorim hamischad shiboylem hazel achar yitziro hu bishnei dvorim. Those, the completion of things that are come about in this world after creation, fall into two categories. Echod mehem gzeres habere yisale vechefzo bi. See osom el gvul ha-havaya. It says, one is the gzeirus of Hashem, that his desire that he creates something to come into and make it a reality. He creates the realities, that things are poshut gzeirus from Hashem. Vasheni, the second, Sibos umitsui mehem krev mehem rechoike mehem nigel mehem nistoim v'kulam rotzim lahashlim ma shenigzar havayosav harosoi be'ezer edekim lohem alze. The second ones are sibos. Sibos means causes. In other words, besides the gzeiros that Hashem directly unfolds, I guess the sun rises in the morning and the moon rises at night and the sun sets and the world goes around and all of this stuff, that's gzeiros from Hashem. But the second one is sibus. There are things that we do, some closer, some further away, some obvious, some hidden, but they are factors that are completing the gzeiros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made. In other words, there's two ways of looking at this world. There are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set in motion directly, and there are other things that we do. It's a very deep philosophical thing, I think. Things that we do. But those things that we do are also just means of bringing about that which he decreed. So here, of course, comes in the issue. I don't know if he's going to discuss it here, and I don't remember, but it comes the issue of free choice with with, you know, Bechira, with Hashem's, not only Yediyah, but Gzeira. But that's what he says. There's those things that Hashem has been Gezer directly. This is the way it has to be. And there are other things that there are apparent cause and effects. But those cause and effects, those things that I do, Hishtadlus, whatever I do, are all part of an agency. They're all part agents that are bringing about that which Hashem wants. Ultimately, Atzas Hashem, He Sokum, His will be maintained. That's what's going to happen. V'dimin asibus ha-krevus k'yitzuas ha-mayim y'makei oretz ba-galgal. O b'kelem ha-malim es ha-mayim in ha-be'er. He says like this. He gives examples. Why are we talking about these causes? He says, taking water out of the... taking water out of a well with a pail that brings the water up from the well. That's a close thing. That's direct. Okay, you see that direct. I put the pail in the water and I draw it up. But what's really happening over there is I have chosen to put the pail in the water and have the ability to draw the water up. That's true. But that water is being drawn up because that's what Hashem wants. I'm my choice, which I have free choice, don't ask how those two fit together, but that's the concept that's philosophically difficult. But my choice to draw it up is the agent that unfolds. That's what Hashem wants. V'sibos ha-rachoyko, ha-odom hu kosher, then what about a more distant cause and effect? Ha-odom shu kosher ha-behema el ha-galgal, u-meniyosu la-halim ha-mayim mitachtiyas ha-be'er al-pnei ha-oretz. He says, a more distant sibo is not that I put the thing in and I draw the water up, but I tie the behema to the rope, tie the rope to the pail, and now the behema walks, and in the process he pulls, I guess there's a pulley, I don't know how that things work, and he's pulling the pulley, and that's indirect. That's the same thing. It's all the unfolding of Hashem's will. This, the human being does it more directly. This, through an animal or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be an animal, is done less directly, it's more distantly, but it's all the unfolding of Hashem's will. Achasibas shabein ho'odom v'hakelim mitzuim bein shnei hadvorim v'im habehema v'hoigulim shemagia k'tzosom al-tzosom v'hachevel. He says, all of these things are emtsoim. These are just means that are bringing about the will of Hashem. And it's true that if something happens to one of these things, the inyan will not happen. It's true. If the rope breaks, the pail drops, there won't be water drawn out. That's true. But I guess that too is all part of Hashem's master plan. He says, and all kinds of other things. Anything that's brought to existence will not exist from a person's efforts unless it's Bigzera Sadekim. And then he brings Psukim, Gedolo Eitzov, Rav Halilio, Yoiso Siba Meim Hashem, it only happens with Hashem's decree. Now, I think that this is a very important hakdoma to bitochen, and let's analyze that for a moment. Why? And then I think we'll end over here. And that is as follows: if a person thinks that there's anything I can do to influence or to compromise the will of Hashem, then reliance on the will of Hashem is going to be, by definition, weak, because he's not really all-powerful. In other words, I want water. So I want water, I should have the strength or the ability to draw the water up from the well, to take his example. But I know if the rope breaks, it's not going to happen. And the rope could break with natural causes. You know, the rope is a week, it's been pulling for a long time, all of a sudden it snaps. So, how can I trust Hashem? There are natural causes that may take effect. In other words, I trust Hashem is good, I trust Hashem would give me the water, but the way I'm getting water is through the well. And the well is connected to human sibas, human causes. So, if something goes wrong, I'm not going to be able to get the water. If the well dries up, If the pail falls into the well, they got no other pails. If the pulley breaks, they have no other rope. What am I going to do? So I can't really trust Hashem completely because I feel that there are alternative powers, that there are alternative sources, that there are other things involved, that there's the human element. There's room for human error. There's room for accident. There's room for something to happen which can compromise Hashem's desire to fulfill the bitochen that I have. But if I realize that despite the fact, this is such a difficult concept for so many people, despite the fact that we live in a world where there's clearly a connection between Siba and Mesoibiv, there's clear connection between what I do, cause and effect. If you cut the rope, the pail goes down and there's no way to get the water out. That's a fact. That's a physical fact. So, but I still have to realize that's all true, but everything is controlled by Him. So don't let the natural occurrences of this world confuse you in any way to think that because there are causes and effects, that they in any way compromise Hashem's ability to deliver on my trust, because there's nothing to compromise. For example, I guess a good example in today's world would be, the financial situation, right? The stock market. Guy has a big stock portfolio. That's all he knows. Or he has certain real estate holdings. That's all he has. He's not now. It's too late to start another business. And you're going to tell him, no, a bitochon, everything. You're going to sell this building for a 100% profit. And your stock portfolio is going to go back next week, way above whatever it was before 6 months ago. I said, what are you talking? This, the market has its own rhythm. The market has its own rules. The market has its causes and effects. It has to do with the politics. It has to do with the economics. It has to do with the world tragedies. It has to do with this. It has to do with that. Real estate has to do with some of their factors. I don't know what these factors are, but everybody probably studies these factors and this. So there's no factors. Ein Eitzov, Ein Tvunov, Ein Das, Negen Hashem. All of the factors in the world and the laws of nature, albeit real, they are real. There is cause and effect. When the market goes down, people lose money. Yeah. But all of that is all bigzeiros kelelyon. And even those things that are allowed for us to participate in the process, we only participate as sub-agents to bring about that which He wants. And that realization is really what makes it possible for a person to have a chizuk and bitochen. Because if I think that there's any way out that's beyond his the pale of his control, then it's hard for me to really trust Him because there's too many outside factors. But when I realize that everything is under His control, and when I have this other realization that we mentioned before, that I'm doing the mitzvahs in order that He should be able to do good for me, and I feel that sense of trust in Him, and I realize that there is no one else, there's no partnership, He has no one else to help, it's only Him. And if I know that He pays attention to each and every detail, He knows exactly what's going on, so there's no way that He's missing any information or that anybody could fool Him. And I have all of these realizations coming together, then there's no question that such a person will be able to find the strength to look to Hashem and to recognize His kindness and to recognize His chesed and to recognize that the purpose of creation was just to do good for us, and I'm putting my trust in Him. And despite the fact that there seem to be so many other factors which might influence the results of that trust, it isn't true. It's all up to Him. I'm counting on His kindness. And the concept of bitochon says that that no matter who I am, and even if I don't deserve it, Hashem, if I put my trust in Him, Hashem will do chesed.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org. Where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.